This is HealthLink On Air. Linda Cohen here with you. There are approximately 11 million auto accidents each year in this country, resulting in more than 40,000 deaths. And getting to the hospital and a designated trauma center may mean the difference between life and death. Joining us with more on this is Dr. Mustafa Hassan, Associate Professor of Surgery and the Director of Acute Care Surgery Section at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Hassan. Thank you for coming in. Thank you very much for having me. So it can be a matter of life and death to get to a trauma center after a motor vehicle accident. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Within the first few minutes of trauma, this is the most critical time for a patient to get to a designated trauma center or an equipped trauma center. We are a level one trauma center. We have an excellent EMS system that provides transport from the site of the injury, from the field to the hospital. Early intervention and resuscitation may mean life or death in this situation.
What does it actually mean to be a level one trauma center, though?
A level one trauma center is a place or a hospital that has all the resources needed by a trauma victim to address all the injuries. For example, at Upstate, which is a level one trauma center, we do have trauma surgeons that are available 24 hours a day. We do have neurosurgeons, orthopedic surgeons, plastic surgeons, a designated intensive care unit, and every resource you can think of to care for such a critically injured patient.
Wow, so it is important to have all those players in place and highly trained to know what to expect and how to deal with it.
Correct.
So as a trauma surgeon, which you are, and you work in this type of setting, you're seeing sometimes traumatic injuries that now require a new approach to repairing the abdominal wall. Tell us about that.
Well, there is a paradigm shift in the care for trauma victims, and that happened over the last decade, evolved. It's called damage control strategies. What happened in the past is a trauma victim would come in with a major abdominal injury, either from a motor vehicle accident or from a stab wound or a gunshot wound. Patients would be taken to the operating room and spent hours in the operating room trying to fix those injuries. But we have recently learned, or over the last decade, not really recently, that doing that may have a very poor outcome on those patients. So what we currently do is we do what is known as damage control. We open the abdomen, we go in and temporize, stop the bleeding, stop the contamination, or temporarily take care of the injuries, and leave the abdomen open and covered by a special dressing, and the patients go back to the intensive care unit to be warmed, resuscitated, stabilized, and then come back to the operating room once again, or twice, or three, or four, or sometimes many, many times until their abdomen is actually closed. Although that has its problems, but has been associated with way better outcome and less mortality.
So in a part of this, though, is something that I was kind of found very interesting. There is such a thing as an abdominal wall hernia that can occur during these kinds of injuries. What exactly is that?
Absolutely. Leaving the abdomen open, and that's not only for trauma, but for also acute catastrophic general surgery problems like a hole in the colon or a hole in the intestines, all those problems. We end up with an abdomen that's open, and it becomes very difficult to close it. And sometimes closure in itself produces this hernia, which is a defect in the abdominal wall through which organs can protrude, covered by the skin, but that is a definition of a hernia.
So in other words, the abdominal wall and all of the musculature and all of the structures that would be up below the skin that would protect the inner organs, it's not totally closed. And those organs push through.
Correct.
And that obviously can be quite a serious problem.
Yes, that results in a hernia by definition.
So what do you do in those circumstances? And is it always, those are always as a result of some kind of traumatic injury that has taken place?
Actually, those hernias are not only a result of trauma, but they are a result of any surgical procedure involving the abdomen, which is also known as an incisional hernia. Just making an incision in the abdomen may result in this problem, where even if it's well closed at the end of an operation, due to many, many different factors, some related to the operation, some related to the patient, patients will develop those hernias, those large, complex hernias.
And so what do you do in that circumstance? How are they treated?
Well, they are treated there is a multidisciplinary approach that we have for those conditions.
Do you need to reoperate in that case?
Absolutely. Usually the treatment is surgical after good preparation and patient selection, preparation with the patient, and it's a surgical repair.
And in that case, let's get back to this gunshot wound or the person who's come in with a traumatic injury. You've done this staging in terms of their repair. So they've come in, you've stabilized them, they have an open abdomen, they necessarily then have to go back on several occasions to repair their abdomen, and still they might end up at a later date with a hernia.
Correct.
Is that correct? And then they must return again to the operating room. Is that ever done laparoscopically, you know, less invasively when you do that repair?
That's a great question. Definitely. There are different ways to fix those hernias. Some of them are open, some are laparoscopically, and recently we're doing a lot of them robotically. But that's all depends on the size of the hernia and the patient and the conditions around it. So the patient selection is very important.
And the laparoscopic procedure, is it less, obviously, or the robotic procedure, is it less time and healing? I mean, what are the benefits of doing it that way versus opening
them up again? It is less invasive. We make 3 or 4 small incisions, so the recovery is faster, pain is less. But the most important thing is patient selection, because not everybody, not every hernia is suitable for that kind of repair.
So the question is, though, why do you need to repair it? I mean, let's assume this person's gone through all of this traumatic experience, and they finally been stabilized and you've closed the abdomen, and then a little hernia develops secondary to that. Is it necessary to repair, and why?
Well, not in every situation hernia is necessary to be repaired, but having a big abdominal hernia is a hardship for a lot of people, actually.
In what ways? What does it do?
First, this is a defect in the abdominal wall through which organs protrude, so complications can happen. What we call incarceration, which means the intestines that are sticking outside, basically.
And they can get strangulated.
Exactly. You can get incarcerated and then get strangulated, and then becomes a surgical emergency. And emergencies are usually managed in a suboptimal way rather than elective surgery.
So you would always, well, whenever possible, make a repair?
In a suitable candidate, in a patient who has symptoms, it probably should be repaired.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with trauma surgeon Dr. Mustafa Hassan. And we're talking about surgical interventions specifically to do with the abdominal wall at this point and hernias. What new materials are being used, or are there new materials that are being used these days?
There are many, many types of reinforcement materials in the market. It's a huge industry, and the duty of the surgeon is to select the suitable material for the suitable patient.
So there's something called mesh, or is that the general name for all of these?
Well, there are two kinds of material that we use. One of them is meshes in general, and the other one is what we call a biological graft. And these are tissue grafts. Some of them are made from cadaveric skin. Some are made from pig skin. Some are made from cow skin. But they usually come from a tissue of a living organism.
And then they are put in place where the hole, let's say, exists in the abdominal wall?
The ultimate repair of a hernia is to be able to bring the patient's muscles back together again, to give the patient the function that they want, ability to function and move around, and also to reinforce this usually from the undersurface with that kind of material. We assume at this point the muscle is not strong enough and hernia can occur again, so reinforcement is very important.
Going back to this whole notion of hernias, though, I mean, it's something that is quite common. I'm not talking now ones that are caused by a traumatic event necessarily, but you'll often hear people say, oh, I have had a hernia and I've had to have a hernia repair. Tell me about what causes these kinds of hernias and who are at risk for them.
Well, it's very unpredictable who would get a hernia. And when we say hernias, most people would think it's in the groin. Groin hernias are pretty common. However, what we're talking about or dealing with mainly now is the incisional hernias, which are a result of trauma, as we have mentioned, or a previous incision.
And those occur largely where, then?
Usually in the abdomen, following an abdominal incision, or a flank incision sometimes. And they are a hardship. They are a hardship for people who have them.
How so, though? I mean, what does it do to your daily living?
People are usually under the threat of having the hernia incarcerate or strangulate
while
I'm on a vacation, while I'm fishing in Florida, while I'm doing this or that. That's one thing. The other thing is chronic pain, because the hernias protrude, and every time people eat or move around, there is chronic pain. Besides the lack of function, imagine if you have an abdominal wall defect, your muscle is not functioning as well as somebody who has an intact abdominal wall. So also, there are some cosmetic issues, because those hernias can get very large and be very obvious and produce cosmetic hardship for people, if you will.
So for all those reasons, it sounds like repair should be most often the choice.
If possible, in a suitable candidate.
And what would be the candidates who might not be suitable?
Not all of those operations are simple. They're big, complex, and the patient have to be first. Something like smoking, for example, kind of rules the operation out, at least temporarily.
So if you're a smoker, what other high risk or other activities might limit your ability to have that repair?
Morbid obesity. Sometimes we have to address that issue first to bring the patient to be a candidate for the operation.
So you might have to lose a lot of weight before or have some kind of other procedure.
Correct. Sometimes that is the case.
So what exactly, at this point, you have seen, for those kinds of hernias, you have a multidisciplinary approach. Can you tell me what that means?
We are putting together a multidisciplinary team to address this issue. And that team is formed of hernia surgeons. People are surgeons who are really, that's a big part of their practice. Plastic surgeons, because sometimes we need their expertise in moving flaps and covering that defect. Physical therapists, nutritionists. A patient navigator, who is usually a nurse or a nurse practitioner, who would receive the patient. We're trying to create a program that's really geared towards, centered towards the patient.
Patient-centered approach.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the idea here is to be able to offer, obviously you need physical therapy following a surgical procedure like that in terms of your rehabilitation.
Correct.
And nutritional help as well often?
Definitely.
And why is that?
Because for good healing, you need good nutrition. Uh-huh. So a lot of the patients don't have that to start with. So we work with them prior to the surgery and bring them up to the point where the outcome is predicted to be very good nutritionally.
Wonderful. So at this point, you have a team that's in place and you're working hard to kind of get the word out, I guess, about this entire enterprise.
Correct.
That's wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for coming in. This is very interesting. And I never realized that people could really have that kind of problem secondary to an auto accident to end up with a basic problem with your abdominal wall. So it was very enlightening. My guest has been Dr. Mustafa Hassan, Associate Professor of Surgery and Anesthesiology at Upstate Medical University, and he is the Director of the Acute Care Surgery Section at Upstate. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to HealthLink on Air.